Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Over the last several broadcasts, we have been focusing on Malachi 3:16, which introduced to us the presence of a believing remnant in the days of dark apostasy when the book of Malachi was written. This book that records Malachi, God's messenger, coming to the people of God and preaching to them about their sins. Imagine that. I can't think of anything that would be more unpopular than to do that. How often do we hear in our day from people who call themselves Christians, "I don't want to hear anybody preaching to me"? We seem to like little pep talks, but we don't much care for preaching. And you say, how do you distinguish the one from the other? Well, preaching is what deals with sin. Now, that's not all that's involved in biblical preaching, and actually that's why I'm committed to an expository style of preaching, because in working through large passages of Scripture, generally whole books of the Bible, then I deal with whatever's there, whatever comes next. And so if the text I'm dealing with is one of encouragement, then of course it ministers encouragement. But if the text I'm dealing with is one of rebuke and exposure, then I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with whatever's in the text. And faithful ministers do exactly that. They preach the whole counsel of God, the positives and the negatives, the popular parts and the unpopular parts. They are faithfully preaching in season, out of season, whether people want to hear it or not. And that's what Malachi is doing. And we find that recorded in this book called the Book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. But we come to this section that tells us about the believing remnant. In the midst of apostasy, there was, in fact, a believing remnant. And so we will continue talking about that remnant, though we've moved past verse 16, but we find that the Book of Malachi is not done with the remnant just because verse 16 is over. And so thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, March 10. And may I remind you that we do depend upon God's people to financially support the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Yes, God's special people. And we learn that God has special delight in and purposes for His blood-bought people. And so we learned, when we came to verse 16 of chapter 3, of the presence of a believing remnant in the midst of apostasy and unbelief, we learned that God has preserved a faithful people who are His. But verses 7-18 tell us more about them, about how God treasures them, and one of God's great purposes for them. And so we continue looking at God's special people. "They shall be mine," we read in verse 17, says the Lord of hosts, "on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him." Well, what do we learn about God's special people, this believing remnant? Well, first of all, we have to consider their reality or their existence. There are those, of course, who deny that God has anything like a special people, separate and distinguished from the rest of humanity. But he does. To some people, everybody is a child of God. That's the statement, the sentiment that we often hear proclaimed in the world today, based upon contemporary religious ideals and social philosophy, but not based upon biblical revelation. There are people who are the people of God, but it's not everybody. They're a special possession. Verse 16, backing up again, then those who feared the Lord. They were the minority. Most of the people of that day didn't fear the Lord, but then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. They shall be mine. And in the Hebrew rendering, which of course is the language that Malachi was originally written in, the mine is emphatic. They shall be mine. God's special possession. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. And that's another figure to speak of their value to God. These are his possessions of special value. Most people value their fine jewelry. It's a special possession. It's expensive. We've actually had our house broken into a couple of times, and both times the thieves stole jewelry. They didn't get much. I think they must have been disappointed. They stole both my jewelry and my wife's jewelry, and I didn't have much at all. A few cufflinks and a couple of rings, that like a high school class ring and so forth. Nothing of any value. I don't have any expensive jewelry. And my wife didn't really have much expensive jewelry. Fortunately, her engagement ring with a diamond and so forth was on her finger. It wasn't where the thieves could get it. But they took some things of value, primarily her mother's, her mother's engagement ring and her grandmother's engagement ring. Heirlooms had been passed down to her that were highly treasured by her, not only because there was some intrinsic value in the jewelry, in the gems, but also, of course, because of their sentimental value. But our jewels are generally something we protect. I've even wondered if maybe I want to invest in a safe. I've never had anything like that in my house. I've never really kept what I consider to be many valuables in my house. I don't stash money and don't have expensive jewelries. I know people who have jewelry that's worth tens of thousands of dollars stashed in their house. And if you've got that kind, maybe you better have a bona fide safe that would be difficult to break into. But the point is that this is a figure of speech demonstrating that the people who believe in God, this believing remnant, are some of the most precious possessions that God has. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. I think the old King James says something like, when I make up my jewels. I don't remember the exact wording. But this is, I think, more accurate. When I make them my jewels. But it could be make up my jewels. But the idea is possession of special value. Kings in that day, of course, had expensive jewelry, the royal jewels. We talk about the crown jewels of the King or Queen of England. Very expensive jewels, highly valued, highly guarded, carefully kept. Why? Because they're so valuable. That's the idea here. These are possessions of special value. And I don't know any other figure, any other object or possession that God could have used to communicate this idea any more clearly, that the believing remnant are a very prized possession to Him. I remember as a child singing a song about this. When He cometh to make up His jewels, precious jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own, as I remember the words. I may have not gotten every word exactly right, but that was the song. I still remember it. It goes through my mind even now as I'm thinking about it. But the point is that there are, and listen to me, here's the point, there are some people, not all people, some people who are God's special treasure. What a high privilege to be in that company. What a surprising status to be attached to that company. And who are these people? They are those who fear the Lord. We can be in this company. We can be in this category. Fear the Lord. And you will be valued highly by Him. They are God's special possession, and they enjoy God's special protection, because it goes on to say, "And I will spare them. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts," Malachi 3:17. "They shall be mine on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them." And in the context, what he's saying is, I will spare them from the severe judgment that I have prophesied to fall upon the unbelieving majority, the apostate majority. The majority is going to be severely judged, but I will spare these people. There's another theme that's not very popular in our day, namely the theme about God's judgment. Who wants to talk about God's judgment? Well, somebody better be talking about it, because it's coming whether we talk about it or not. It's coming whether we think about it or not. It's coming whether we're aware of it or not. It's coming whether we're prepared for it or not. Oh, how much better to be prepared. I haven't heard this song for a long time, though actually I think I had our congregation sing it some time ago now. It's not been recently, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, when I was dealing with a passage on judgment, and I remembered this particular hymn, and so we made copies of it. It wasn't in our book, and we sang it, but it is, there's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. And it talks about judgment. The rest of the words are slipping away from me right now, but some of you will know that hymn. That great day that's coming is the day of God's judgment. Nobody wants to hear about that today. Well, you better. You better be thinking about it. All sinners deserve God's judgment. But God, in His loving kindness and amazing grace, spares people who are sinners and deserve His judgment like anyone does, but they who fear the Lord are going to be spared. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Some would ask, why would a loving God send anyone to hell? The real question is, why would a holy God spare anyone from hell? But He does. He does, those who fear Him. Oh, may you be in that company. May I be in that company of those who fear the Lord. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.